together please for the reading of God's Word. Please open your Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Your Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. And we'll commence our reading of the Scriptures in the verse 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and the opening verse, please. We read, "Hast thou bread upon the waters, but I shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good." Then reading at verse 6, and we know God will bless the reading of his own infallible word to all of our hearts this morning. But I just pause to take time to say a word of appreciation. I'm so glad to be able to come and to meet with you, to share fellowship with you in this part of the Lord's vineyard. For many years, since the work of God has begun here in Australia, we've prayed for you and we've loved you, not having seen you face to face. And I was delighted when I received the opportunity to co-join Dr. McElveen to come over here to Australia and visit with you and to be able to see something of this great land. I'm really learning the language, and Australians have got some wonderful expressions. One of them I've really caught on to is "Get on your meat," and I've heard them say that so many times. They'll ask you something and then they'll say "Get on your meat," and it's really been an experience being here. We do trust that the Lord will bless us, and I believe he will around his word. Now, many years ago in the city of Leicester in England, there was a famous preacher by the name of Dr. F.B. Meyer. Dr. F.B. Meyer was not only a great preacher of the word of God and a faithful pastor, but he was also a great shepherd of the flock. A man who was tender-hearted and a man who had a great love for people. And if you ever come across a copy of his life story, it's a real treat for you in store to be able to read of the life and the labors of this man of God. Towards the end of his autobiography, he makes a very frank, open, personal confession. And he said these words that he has looked back over many faithful and fruitful years in the work of God, that he had one great regret, and the great regret that he had was that he didn't give more time to the ministry of encouragement. And I believe that is something that we all need, and personally in ourselves perhaps, as we look back, we didn't give encouragement to others in the work of the Lord. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, anointed by Samuel the prophet. And yet there was those dark moments in David's life when David needed Jonathan to come alongside and to strengthen his hand in God and to speak a word in season of encouragement to his heart. I believe that's a ministry that we could all be involved in, that you and I can learn to be spiritual Jonathan, and you and I can minister to others even in words of encouragement. Now, as you look at the text that I want to leave with you this morning, you will find that it's one of those great verses of the Bible that is full of encouragement for the people of God. And I want to underline what I think is one of the most wonderful and beautiful verses to be found in the whole of the Word of God. And it's the verse 1 of chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, when Solomon said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And I believe that even one who is greater than Solomon, the one who is King of Kings and the Lord of the harvest, he would say to us here this morning, as his people, to be encouraged and to cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, as you look at this text from God's Word, I believe that there are many lessons to be gleaned and to be learned and to be applied to our hearts. But I want to consider just three simple things or lessons with you this morning. And I want you to notice, first of all, what I've called a great task to be done. There's a great task to be done in the words of command that are given by Solomon when he said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." Now, what does Solomon mean when he says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters"? Well, I believe to understand what Solomon has said, we've got to go out of the boundaries of the land of Israel into the land of Egypt. And most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the fact that the land of Egypt, for the greater part, is divided into two by the great and the mighty River Nile. And what happens during the time of sowing, when the Egyptian farmer would have to sow a seed, it is the beginning of the rainy season. And what would happen is that all the banks of the and the fields that are adjacent of the mighty River Nile would be overflowing with water. And so the Egyptian farmer, with either his son or some of his servants, would have to get in to his little craft, into his little vessel. And they would load on the seed corn, and then across those fields that have been submerged in water, they would cast their bread, they would cast their seed corn upon the waters. And that's the word picture here that is given, the metaphor or the image behind these words of the Egyptian farmer casting his bread upon the waters alongside the River Nile. Then, of course, what would happen is that the seed corn that has been cast across upon the waters would sink into the depth and into the soil, and eventually the waters would assuage and would disappear into the bowels of the earth, and then that seed corn would germinate, and then the fields eventually would be white on the harvest. And so this is what Solomon is sharing with us here in the great, a task to be done, that you and I as believers, as followers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, were involved in the great commission of casting our bread upon the waters, and we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll never forget, some years ago I was driving in the car, and I happened to have the car radio on at the time of the news, and suddenly there was a news flash, and it said, "The king is dead," and I wondered who they were talking about, and it turned out it was the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and the king had died. And I followed with interest all the news reports concerning Elvis Presley and his death. And you know, I was stunned by the fact that the next day, 24 hours later, it was claimed that every nation in the world was talking about the death of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. And I thought of another young king who died outside the city walls of Jerusalem, the Lord of glory, who was impaled on the middle cross, who died as the Lamb of God, which taken away the sin of the world. Yet there's still millions untold, and those who have never been reached with the glorious message of the gospel. You see, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear. If there's no sowing, there can be no reaping. It's the law of the harvest that if we're going to reap, then we've got to sow. Remember the Lord Jesus himself, what we call the parable of the sower of the soil. And he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And if there's going to be the end gathering of the harvest, then there's got to be the blood, sweat, and the tears, and the hard work, and the great task to be done. And that is to cast our bread upon the waters. Every one of us are called to be witnesses and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of a young man, and he went to his Sunday morning service, and the pastor spoke upon witnessing and the need to be a witness for Christ and to tell what great things the Lord has done for our souls. And the young man came to the pastor afterwards very sincerely, and he said, but pastor, you don't understand. He said, I find it very difficult to witness and to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor was a very wise man, and he looked at him and he said, oh, by the way, John, tell me about that new motorbike that you've got recently. What about that bike you've got? Why, the young fellow's face lit up and got into the full speed. And he began to tell about the bike and how it could do this time, and what the fuel and all the rest of it and the speed and the latest model. And he went on for about 20 minutes speaking about his motorbike. And the pastor listened ever so patiently. Then when he was finished, the old pastor looked at him and he said, you know, John, if you love the Savior the way you love your motorbike, you will have no difficulty speaking about him. And you know, that's the key. Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And I was reading those lovely words in my quiet time this morning. And when you remember, in the epistle of John, and John says, we love him because he first loved us. And if you love someone, then you'll want to speak about it, especially grandparents, don't they? Love to speak about their grandchildren. And so it is when the love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you realize there's a great task to be done, and I need to be a witness for the Savior. Then notice not only a great task to be done, cast thy bread upon the waters, but secondly we have here a great triumph to be discovered. A great triumph to be discovered, because with this command there comes the promise. And Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Listen, for thou shalt find it after many days. I mark the fact it doesn't say here that if you cast your bread upon the waters, you'll find it right away. Sometimes in evangelism that happens. You speak to someone and you talk to them about the Lord, and right away they're one for the Savior. Other occasions you've got to learn to be patient and to realize that there's a time of sowing and there's the time of waiting, and then it's followed by the time of reaping. One of the things we need to learn is to have patience in the work of God. Just like the Egyptian farmer, yes, he had sowed a seed, but he had to exercise patience, and Mother Nature had to do its work. Now, General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, is one of my favorite characters from church history. And my family were all salvationists. My mother and father were salvationists, and many of my relations. I was the one that got away and became a pre-Presbyterian. But you know, General Booth was a very impatient man. And he was the kind of a person that when he gave a command and he wanted something to be done, he wanted it done yesterday. Maybe a wee bit like your wife, I don't know. But that's the kind of person he was. And one day he gave a command to a young officer, and a few days later he summons the young officer back into his presence, and he said, "What about that job when I gave you to do?" With tongue in cheek, the young officer looked at General Booth and said, "General, you've got to realize, sir, that Rome wasn't built in a day." The old general rather abruptly replied, "That's because I wasn't in charge." And sometimes we're like that. Oh, we don't see instant results and tokens for good immediately. We've become weary and well-doing, and we've got to learn from God's word to be not weary and well-doing. Listen, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. There's a great triumph to be discovered, beloved. God's word, faithfully sown, will not return unto him void. God will bless and prosper his word. And could I say this? That's the only thing God has promised to bless as far as the work of the ministry is concerned. You know, when Martin Luther, the great German reformer, came to die, and Luther saw the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church, when the whole of Europe was delivered from the dark ages and brought into the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And he was mightily used of God, Martin Luther, the great German reformer. I actually had the opportunity of visiting Luther's home, and was in the very bedroom where Luther died. And when Luther was dying, Melanchthon, one of his friends, and some of the other reformers were there. And Luther was finding it difficult as he faced the last enemy. And to encourage him, Melanchthon spoke up and he said, "Dr. Luther, God has been pleased to use you as his instrument, and God has used you to do a great work in this land of ours that has touched the other nations of the world." Martin Luther, on his deathbed, looked at his friend and he said, "It wasn't me, it was the Word of God." Oh, a great triumph to be discovered. The Lord will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and God's Word will triumph in the end. Maybe you're feeling discouraged, you've sown much, and you've brought in little, and the Lord is teaching you to be patient, and if you're faithful, then the Lord will eventually bless his own word and give the increase and use it for the honor and the glory of his holy name. A great task to be done. Cast thy bread upon the waters. A great triumph to be discovered. Thou shalt find it after many days. But then notice with me also here that there's a great truth to be declared. A great truth to be declared. Have you ever stopped as you've meditated and pondered upon this verse of God's word and realized that this is the John 3:16? Of the Old Testament. Do you remember in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that little Bible, John said these words, and he reminds us of a day when God cast his bread upon the waters. And John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what happened almost 2,000 years ago, when God in love and mercy spared not his own son, and he cast his bread upon the waters, and he gave Christ to be our Savior. A great truth to be declared. Here you have the message of eternal life through the gospel of him who died and rose again. You know, in the early 50s, I was saved in the year 1959. It was the anniversary year of the 1859 revival in Ulster, the year of grace, when over 100,000 souls were swept into the kingdom of God in a remarkable visitation of God's Holy Spirit and revival. And the anniversary services were on for its 100th anniversary of that great movement of the Spirit. And I was saved in the month of May during that anniversary year. But Belfast was alive. And in the 50s and in the 60s, there was gospel meetings everywhere, mission halls, churches, open airs in every street corner. And Ulster had experienced a time of revival blessing. It was a wonderful time to be growing up as a young Christian. I can remember in one hall of the Christian Workers Union Hall, founded by W.P. Nicholson, the great Ulster evangelist. And on a Saturday night, when the pubs would get out, the public houses, they would have tea and biscuits and sandwiches for the drunks. They would fight them into the hall, and they would preach the gospel to them, and God bless them. Lives were touched and changed. One night they asked this young fellow to come and to give a short message in the gospel. He hadn't preached before, and he got up to speak before this mixed congregation, men of them drunk. And as he started to preach, he opened up God's word, he quoted his text, and suddenly a drunk man stood to his feet. And he looked at the young preacher and he said, "Young man, young fella, tell me." And he could hardly stand still as he staggered in the seat. And he said, "Tell me what language was the Bible written in?" The young fella knew nothing about the original languages of the Holy Scriptures. And he stood there and his mouth just fell open. And suddenly this other brother stood up. As he stood to his feet, he turned and he looked at the eyeball of the drunk and he said, "Here, man, I'll tell you the language of the Bible. The language of the Bible is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And if you believe, you can be saved and your life can be changed. And that's the great truth to be declared, the wonderful message and the miracle working power of the gospel of Christ. You know, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was preaching on the words, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And he felt he should give a second appeal. And he appealed again, "If you want to accept Christ, walk the aisle and come and confess your need of Christ and be saved." And an old man stood to his feet and he cried out, Mr. Moody, I can't come. I'm chained. And Moody replied as quick as a flash, "Man, come with your chains and all, and Jesus will set you free." And thank God, if even the Lord sets free, is free indeed. Possibly you have come here this morning, young or old, and you're not seeing it. And today, the Lord has been speaking to your heart. And the wonderful thing is this, that even after 2,000 years, when the gospel is preached and the soul is gloriously saved, after 2,000 years, the Savior is saying the travail of a soul and is satisfied. No wonder there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repented. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Be encouraged, brother and sister, this morning. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, thank God you can go home with Christ as your Savior today. And the promise of God's word is this: him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We would say with John Bunyan, the old Puritan preacher, come and a thousand welcomes to Christ today. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts today. Thank you.